We're here today. We're going to actually wrap up this last message in the series called Place, where we've been trying to look at, okay, God, you have a plan and purpose for our lives. We have a God-given sweet spot where we serve in life and ministry. The topic that we're going to deal with today is that as we find our sweet spot and as we live out our lives in ministry, we do that with others. Sometimes that works really great. Sometimes it's complicated and difficult. But I'm calling this message just finding your sweet spot. But you're going to have to, you serve on a committee or you serve on a team. You know, we think of that word team or teams a lot of times in sports. Sometimes we love our teams and sometimes we get very disappointed in our teams, right? So that's the truth. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, sometimes they play well, sometimes they don't play well. We think of teams in various sports, but teams, you know, in a lot of ways is a much broader scope than that. Because some of you in your work life or in your career, you served on a team, you worked with others, or you've been a volunteer. Or you've served with others on in clubs or organizations or certain committees. When you think about a medical team of professional, aren't you glad that we have medical teams that care for our needs? So being a part of a team, in a lot of ways, is a significant part for our lives. It's when you think about teams, what makes a great team? If you've been a part of a team, and most of you have, whether it's a club, organization, or through work, you know that there are some great teams and there's not so great teams. If you've been a part of a team very long, there are highs and lows, there's peaks and valleys. And one of the things we find out in being on a team is that teamwork is absolutely essential. You have a responsibility to be a good team member, and every team member must do their part. And this is certainly true when it comes to being a member of God's team. As you find and live out your God-given sweet spot, whether it's within ministry in a local church or whether it's in your everyday mission where God places you, it involves working with others on teams or in committees. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 and 27. But in fact, God has arranged. Notice this. God's in charge. He arranges the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, you are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Every team member's role, how they live that out, is very, very important. Each one of them, each one of us, are a part of it. Paul also talked about in Ephesians 4:16, from him being who? Jesus, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every one of us has some work responsibility in fulfilling God's mission. There's a gentleman named Pat McMillan. Here's what he says about teams. A team is a group of people committed to a common purpose who choose to cooperate in order to achieve exceptional results. Every team needs to understand, hey, what's our purpose? Why do we exist, right? Why do we exist? Well, God makes it very clear what our purpose is. He lets us know why we exist as a church, why we form teams or committees and function in that capacity. If we look at this acrostic team, together, everyone accomplishes the mission. Together, everyone, and you may have seen that before, together, everyone accomplishes much. And that's true. But what we're focused on is together, as we work together, as we live out our God-given sweet spots in life and ministry, as we do that, together, everyone accomplishes God's mission. So if you can select one section of scripture, two verses that pretty much sum up, well, what is our mission? Why do we exist as a church? Some of you might be thinking, well, I can easily answer that. It's like what a Mexican fiesta. Well, that's all simple. Yeah. That's all certainly a part of it. Well, what happens after Tuesday's over? Well, then we have the root beer float party. Well, yes. But here's the mission. Jesus gave it to us. We don't have to invent it. Here's why we exist. That therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That is our mission. Along with that, you could say the great commandment. You could say in Matthew 28, 19, and 20 that's the Great Commission, and it is. But along with that, the great commandment is to love God and love our neighbors, right? So it's to love God and love others. So as we live out this mission, we do that in light of the great commandment. And so let's look at this. Team ministry. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about this, because it wouldn't mean anything if we just said, yeah, it's a good idea to have teams. It's a good idea to have committees. We want everything that we do as a church to be based on the scriptures, God's word. So let's look first of all at this within the relationship of the Trinity. Within the relationship of the Trinity, sweet spot is modeled to perfection. It's modeled to perfection. Are any of you perfectionists? Oh, some of you are, yes, nodding your heads. No, we're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. But there is a God, and he operates within the Godhead. And he models this team ministry. He models relationships, really, to perfection. You know, in the NFL or in the National Football League, every single year at the start of the season, all teams start out 0-0, right? And as the season goes on, one of the things that teams try to attain is to have a perfect season, right? Do any of you know of a team that had a perfect record, a perfect season? There was one. Remember who it was? The Miami Dolphins of 1972. 1972 Miami Dolphins. So every year, these NFL teams, when they start the season, and we want to have a perfect season, but it hasn't happened since, right? The Miami Dolphins had a perfect season. Well, as Christians, the Bible reminds us that we worship and serve this triune God. He's one God in three persons: God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what a perfect, unique team this is. That's why we worship them. And so this perfect team, it's really the original dream team. Those other teams have nothing on this Trinity, this triune God. And so we see in the scriptures, we see various places throughout God's word that we see this perfect team, that we see sweet spot being modeled to perfection. And here it is, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the very first book of the Bible. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So the key there is let us. So God is there in creation. Let us. So involved in creation, and we see this perfection taking place in the Godhead, within the Trinity. So we know from certain verses of the Bible that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all were active in creation. They were modeling for us teamwork, so to speak, living out their sweet spot to perfection. One of the verses we just read out of Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we see, once again, this triune God. One God, three persons. And then in Jesus' baptism, in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and what? The Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. And what did that voice say? You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So we see throughout Scripture, God the Father, God the Son, modeling, living out this sweet spot into it to perfection. So, the gentleman, Ryan and Warren, who wrote this book called Teams That Thrive, here's what they said, just in these verses that we looked at. Christianity is unique among major religions in presenting one God who eternally exists and functions as a divine team. So most importantly, first of all, if we're going to say that we're going to be a church that we're going to have these teams, we're going to have a team-based approach and everybody doing their part and people serving on committees and things like that, it's important that this is it's modeled for us by God himself. But I want us to look even beyond that, because even as, I mean, that's incredibly important, but what about just regular old people? Well, the Bible gives us real people in the scriptures, in the Bible, who learn the joy of living out their God-given sweet spot with others. Notice this in team ministry. This wasn't something that they automatically maybe wanted to do even, but they realized that, hey, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to have others that are going to be involved as well. And so Moses, he wasn't that great at it. He wasn't that great at being a team player or developing a team ministry. He had to get input from his father-in-law, Jethro. You know, sometimes father-in-laws need to say a word. I won't call my son-in-law right now. Moses. Real people in the Bible, people who lived and walked on this earth just like we do today, real people who are in the joy of living out their God-given sweet spot with others in team ministry. So Moses, here's what we find in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 15. Moses, at first, was not that much of a team player. He was doing it all himself. Let's look at this. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. So from breakfast time until dinner time. And when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening?" And Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decree and instructions." And so Jethro, his father-in-law, is observing Moses from morning till evening. And you can see that Moses has got to be overwhelmed. He's got a lot on his plate. What's wrong with this picture? Well, Moses is trying to do everything himself. I mean, you could say he's going solo day after day. But the thing is, his father-in-law says, man, you're going to burn out. You're not going to last long that way. His way of going about the work of God is ineffective. It's a lonely way to live. In basketball terms, you would say, Moses, you're being a ball hog. You know, he needs a lesson in teamwork. And his father, Jethro.
And when you think of Jethro, I know some of you have gone to the Beverly Hillbillies. Weren't those some great shows? You were still watching?
Yes.
No? Yeah, some of you do. Oh, we're there.
Anyway. So Jethro says, hey, there's a better way. It's teamwork. It's getting others involved. And here's basically four things that he was saying. Hey, pray. Teach God's word faithfully. Live a godly life. But Moses, you got to delegate. Share the blessing of serving with others. It's about teamwork. Our triune God in the Trinity, he modeled it to perfection. He wants to see us also receive the joy and the blessing of serving with others. Moses learned the value of serving with others. He learned the value of teamwork, but it wasn't always easy. And I want us to look at another section of scripture here. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15. Check this out. He's overwhelmed again. He really wasn't practicing these principles that his father-in-law Jethro told and encouraged him. And so he had kind of a lapse a little bit here. And so we see Moses heard the people of every family wailing. I like that. Wailing at the entrance to their tents. And the Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. And he asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? And then you can say Moses goes off. Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? To the land you promised on oath to their ancestors. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me. Give us a build your own taco bar. And so we're doing that. Give us meat to eat, rather. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden's too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I found favor in your eyes, and do not let my face see my own ruin. Having a rough day. Having a rough day. And so how does God respond to him? How does God respond to Moses? Well, in verses 16 and 17, the Lord said to Moses, bring me, notice what's happening here. Here's God's answer. Bring me 70 of Israel's elders. You see teamwork? Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of the meeting that they may stand there with you. All right, Moses, you actually have support. You have people that are going to be there for you. And I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. And notice this, they will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Moses had to learn. we have to understand. You know, this whole area that we're talking about today and the whole area of the place of ministry and finding your sweet spot and everything is really a huge philosophy I have of ministry. And I've shared this philosophy for many, many years. I never try to go solo. It's just a mistake. We need each other. Every person needs to do their work and find their place of ministry and service for the church to be effective. And so we also see not only Moses, but there's a gentleman in the Old Testament called Nehemiah. Nehemiah came along with significant in God's ministry because after the children of Israel had returned from the many years in exile that they'd been in Babylon, Nehemiah gets back to Jerusalem, and it's basically laid in ruins. It's laid in ruins. The temple and the city gates and walls, the city's laid in ruins. So he's not going to do this work alone. He organizes the people into teams. And here's what we see in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. He says, I said to them, you see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. And I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. He's getting others involved. And if you go over to Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, with Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. And so all through the book of Nehemiah, the whole goal is to rebuild the city gates and the walls that have been burned down, have been torn down by the Babylonians that had attacked them. And so as far as Nehemiah and team building, here's some principles. Every team member plays a significant role in God's game plan. Every team member does. If you were to look at the game plan that God has for us, everybody plays a significant role. Today, in all these NFL games that are taking place, if there's a team member that kind of lets them down or goes out lackadaisical or makes a mistake or something like that, or certainly doesn't fulfill their role, it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause problems for the entire team. But where everybody goes out and understands their role in the game plan, it can be worked beautifully into perfection. And the second thing, God's team best accomplishes his work shoulder to shoulder. As the city of Jerusalem and the city gates and walls were being rebuilt, section by section, the city walls were being built. They worked side by side, shoulder to shoulder in the Lord's work. And then a couple more things. God strategically positions every team member for maximum impact. Maximum impact comes out of finding and living out your God-given sweet spot. That's how we see maximum impact in the church. That's why it's important that we find our sweet spot. And then together, make the commitment to finish the game strong. The game of life. We come into the latter season of many of our lives right now. And I believe this is a church where many of you are saying, hey, let's finish strong. This side of heaven, let's finish strong at all that God has called us to do. And it happened, actually, in the book of Nehemiah. It says in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. So the people worked, notice this, with all their heart. And then in Nehemiah 6:15, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul. They rebuilt the wall. It was a miracle in 52 days. It was incredible, miraculous teamwork. And then there's Jesus. Jesus believed in team ministry. Jesus believed in teamwork. And so we see him. He says, man, this is what I'm called to this earth. God has sent me to this earth. And so he chooses 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus went out, the Bible says, and he prayed to God the Father about these first disciples. And he chose these first disciples. Jesus believed in and practiced team ministry. Notice this also in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sent them out. He gave them power and authority to do what God had called them to do and to live out their God-given sweet spot. And then Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he's about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Well, here's something I want us to consider. How did Jesus choose his team? How did Jesus choose his team? He prayed. He called them to follow him. Think about how Jesus chose you. Out of his love for you, he prayed. He called them to follow him. He chose them to be on his team. He taught and equipped them. And then he empowered and unleashed them. It's the same as true today. As we fulfill this incredible mission that God has called us to as a church, these are the very same principles that are lived out within our individual lives and collectively as a church. You see, Jesus' plan for team building is still what he's doing today in every church, hopefully, but certainly what he wants to do here at Community Church at Sun Village. There's a man named Oz Guinness. He wrote a book called The Call, and here's what he said. Calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything that we've invested with a special devotion, dynamism, and direction lived out as response to his summons and service. I love how he described that. That's each of us, for each of our lives. This is our call. And then one more I want us to look at is Paul. Paul, we're looking at real people who lived out their God-given sweet spot within the context of ministry. Here's the last one. Paul's philosophy of ministry was certainly team-based. Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Notice this. My co-workers, my team members in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. It's not just a solo act. We do ministry with others. And then Philippians 4, verse 3. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul practiced, he lived out, he believed team ministry. He got others involved in doing the mission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So here at Community Church, this is what God is doing. And then as the church continues to grow and move forward for God, a huge heart philosophy of ministry here is that we use a team-based approach to ministry. It's certainly how I pastor a church. I love to see others get involved and do their part and live out their God-given sweet spot. So as we wrap up here this morning, I come back full circle from where I actually started. Here are some themes and committees. At the table, just next to the first table in the entrance, there are actually lists over there of all of these different teams and committees. I want to know, as you spend time praying, and hopefully you spend some time praying throughout this series, where is God leading you to serve? Where is God leading you to serve? We have a missions team and committee. We support missionaries and missions organizations from around the world. Is God leading you to be a part of that? Servant care. It's just simply to come alongside and help serve the needs of others here in Sun Village. Primarily our membership, but those attend and residents here in Sun Village and even beyond is caring for their needs. Is God leading you to serve in some of that in a capacity like that? We have men's and women's ministries that have many different functions and how you can be involved. Christian education is certainly an area where we're seeking God together as a committee and a team. You know, what studies do we need to have? What small groups do we need? Are there groups in homes? Are there groups in restaurants? What is Sunday morning going to look like? What Bible studies are we going to have? And then first impressions is, as people come in on Sunday morning, just making sure that we have coffee, we have needs are being met, we have refreshments happening, greeting and welcoming people. If God's leading you to be a part of the first impressions team. And then community outreach. How does God want us to reach out here in Sun Village and even beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ? Special events that would attract and draw people to what he's doing, not only through the church, but most importantly, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then audiovisual. This is the sound, the lighting, and we want to be able to get our services on video and even live stream and those kind of things. If that's of interest to you, audiovisual prayer team, that we can, as a church, be praying certain prayer focuses throughout the year, seasonally praying as a church, just being a part of a team of people that are praying and setting direction for prayer. Then a safety team, maybe you have some medical background, or maybe you have some expertise in that area in the area of safety where there might be a medical need, or just keeping us safe within the context of the church community. And then celebration, when we have communion and baptism, just making sure that we have all the elements. And if we have baptisms, making sure that we have all that prepared for. And then place is just helping individuals find their place, find their God-given sweet spot. Some of these teams and committees will work closely alongside myself. Other groups will work with other leadership within the church. But helping people find their sweet spot. And then social media, Facebook, website, different aspects of social media. If you're interested in being a part of that team, God bless you. But there's some sign-up sheets over there. We'll continue to talk about this. It's certainly, as the church grows and moves forward, and all that God has for us, look forward to seeing more and more people involved in serving and finding their part. So let me just say this. What is God saying to you when it comes to doing your part, serving within like a team-based ministry? What is God saying to you? And then Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There's a man named John Piper. Have you heard his name? John Piper. He wrote a book a good number of years ago, Don't Waste Your Life. Don't Waste Your Life. And here's one of the things that was in that book. God created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display his supreme excellence in all spheres of life. The wasted life is a life without passion. God calls us to pray and think and dream and plan and work, not to be made much of ourselves, but to make much of him in every part of our lives. That's what place is about.
That's what this entire series has been about. Michelle read this scripture. I'm just going to, this is our prayer. This is really, if I had a prayer for us right now, this would be it. Of Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.